Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Conscious Parenting with Sandra Jones Keller and family. Welcome back. Let's get you to reintroduce yourself, your show, and what's up for today.
Hello, Nicole, and thank you for welcoming us to the Conscious Parenting Show here on News for the Soul Radio. My name is Sandra Jones Keller, and I'm a conscious parenting coach and author, and I'm joined today by my husband, Thomas.
Hello.
And our 18-year-old daughter, Mecca, who's off camera. Say hello.
Hello.
So we are streaming live on YouTube and News for the Soul Radio. So you can join us if you want to see us. This is our 25th show, so we've been around for a while. We're usually here on the second Friday of the month, but this is the third Friday, and here we are. But we have an archives at News for the Soul Radio, so if you'd like to go back and enjoy 24 other informative and fun shows, News for the Soul Radio. My name is Sandra Jones Keller. And so, Mecca, how can they reach us?
You can email your questions to ontheair@telus.net or call in to 646-595-4274 or Sandra Jones Keller.
So we are here. And so I'm really excited, Thomas. So today we are going to be talking about my upcoming conscious parenting circle. So this is something that I've been wanting to do for over a year, something that I've been thinking about it, and I've actually finally scheduled the first one. It's scheduled for Wednesday, June 12th. It's going to be live on Zoom at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So I hope you will consider joining us.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. And make sure you do get your email questions in early, because our answers tend to take a bit of time and be deep and profound. And
we like to talk.
We only have questions to answer because there's just so much time limited.
So what's a conscious parenting circle, you may wonder?
So what's a conscious parenting circle? I wonder that.
So a conscious parenting circle is a safe and nurturing space. It's sort of like our conscious parenting show, but it's a lot more intimate. And this show is a one-way conversation. So you get to see us or you get to hear us. But in the conscious parenting circles, it will be live via Zoom, where you're going to be supported by other like-minded peers. And it's going to be a two-way conversation so that you can ask all those questions maybe you don't want to ask there, or ask all those questions that have been in your heart to ask, or stuff that maybe you've even been embarrassed about.
Okay, so in more detail, why did you create this group?
Well, I created this group because sometimes it can be a very lonely journey.
Yes,
absolutely. To do conscious parenting. You know, this isn't one of the four main types of parenting. And when you are trying to implement something new, it could be difficult. You may get some feedback that's uncomfortable. You may not quite know how to do it.
Right.
And so I've been thinking about this for a while as a way to support parents who are not so alone out there. There's, you know, tons of different groups, and there's tons of different parenting styles. But conscious parenting, the way that we're doing it, is very unique and exciting. And so I want to be able to have an intimate conversation with people.
That sounds great. Now, how does a person know if it's right for them?
Well, I'd say if you can answer yes to any of these questions. Are you tired of the power struggles with your kids? Do you feel like there's got to be a better and easier way to parent, but you just haven't been able to get there by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be surrounded by other like-minded parents who have the same commitment that you do.
Reinforcement.
And so if you can say yes to any of these questions, I'd say the conscious parenting circle is right for you.
Yes, I'm saying yes.
You're saying yes?
Yes.
So you've been at this journey for quite a while. So
18 years.
I know. Mm-hmm. So did you have any type of support system when Mecca was younger?
Well, yeah, we were living in Atlanta at that time, and we had a spiritual community, a book club that met once a week, and got a lot of support through them by each week, once a week, and study and read, and that would reinforce the teachings we've been implementing in ourselves first and in our homeschooling secondly. And so, yes, that was some support, and actually having any kind of support is actually tremendous, because when you don't have feedback from other like-minded people, you get to tend to get pulled off, because these other people that are just a person doesn't know what you're doing and has no concept of what conscious parenting is.
Oh, man, I remember, you know, some of the feedback that I received around Mecca's bedtime.
Yeah.
Because our daughter at 2 years old stopped taking naps. At 3 years old, still wide awake at 9:30. And by 4 years old, she decided 9:30 was too early for her to go to bed. So we were in power struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I would put her down, we'd do story time, and then she would get back up, and you were asleep, so you didn't have to deal with any of the drama. And so I came up with what I thought was a brilliant solution, and it actually worked well for us, where I did a bedtime alarm.
Right.
And so she would set her alarm for 12:45 a.m. in time to brush her teeth, start whatever she was doing.
That's 12:45
a.m. and get in bed. And so when I would tell people that, oh, well, they'd say, well, what time does your daughter go to bed? And they'd be like, oh, well, 1 o'clock. And I got a lot of negative feedback at first, because
right.
I've never heard of a child as being irresponsible and all these things. And so I had to really get straight in my mind that this was right for our family.
Right.
And I didn't have anyone else at the time who was doing what I was doing. We had the support of our spiritual group, as you talked about, but, you know, everyone else had grown kids. And so I was working my way through figuring out what conscious parenting was and what worked, and using my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have loved to have had some kind of conscious parenting circle
right. When
our daughter was younger.
Right.
So that I could work this stuff out with other people.
Right.
Exactly. You know, I worked it out with you. I worked out a lot of stuff by myself, you know, just using intuition, just trying to figure out, okay, is it okay for her to go to bed at 1 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I mean, I had a regular bedtime when I was younger. You had a regular bedtime.
And it wasn't 1 o'clock.
Well, yeah, it certainly wasn't 1 o'clock. And so trying to figure out what was right for our family and our daughter, not based on the past.
Right. That's because my wife and my daughter are nocturnal animals, and the circadian rhythms is naturally to be awake during the night, late at night. I'm just the opposite. I'm awake early in the morning. That's my highest energy time. So because we do homeschool and did homeschool, we had the flexibility to let her go to sleep at 1 a.m.
Absolutely, and it worked well.
It worked.
And I put in guidelines, so it wasn't like, you know, oh, you just get to do whatever you want. So I actually put in guidelines to support both of us, such as no electronics. You can play quietly in your room until bedtime, but no electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So she could play with her dolls, she could color, do art, play with her games. If she wanted a snack before bed, before story time, ask before, you know,
mm-hmm.
I left the room.
Mm-hmm.
If we had to get up early,
mm-hmm.
if we had plans in the next morning, she'd have to get up. And so she had these guidelines, and we made an agreement. And so that's why it was conscious parenting, because I was working with her.
And she learned how to self-regulate
Absolutely.
Herself and be ready for the early morning activities when she needed to be. So that gave her the first feelings of having responsibility for herself at a very young age, 5, 6, 7 years old.
And
that's powerful, because once they start getting responsibility, they get more and more self-power. They feel better, stronger. They feel they can do this.
Self-regulation. So that was, you know, teaching her how to self-regulate. And, you know, too many times as parents, people feel like it's their job to outline everything that needs to happen and to have a schedule written out. This is when you do this. This is when you do this. And they don't trust that the child can actually learn to self-regulate. My daughter was 4 years old and could brush her teeth and get herself in bed.
Yeah, the other one's called helicopter parents. And that's not one of the four, is it?
No, that's not one of the four. So it's about learning to trust and giving your child the tools to self-regulate, to be able to make agreements, to have personal responsibility. And to this day, she can entertain herself without having to be tied to a screen. She enjoys her Netflix and she enjoys her screen time, but she can actually do other things. She likes to create cosplays. She likes to do art.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to, what else does she like to do? Embroider.
Embroider. She's very artistic, and she's definitely not dependent on a video screen.
Mm-hmm. And so that was the beginning. That was one of the things that we did. I mean, actually, teaching, letting her self-regulate actually started in the hospital with how we fed her.
Breastfed, yeah.
Yeah. You know, letting her feed when she wanted versus waking her up every couple hours.
Right. We did not do the regular two-hour feeding wake-up routine that the nurses demanded that we did.
Yeah.
Because the first time we did do it, she cried, screamed so loud for so long that it was blatantly obvious that that was not what she wanted.
Absolutely.
And so we began to trust her natural instincts and our own intuition and just told the nurses what they wanted to hear. But that was by staying in tune with when and how she wanted to be fed, she had a natural ability to regulate the amount of food she intakes naturally, not just eat compulsively.
Yeah. So, Mecca, how do people reach us?
You can email your questions to ontheair@deus.net or call in to 646-595-4274 or post your questions in the YouTube live stream chat at Sandra Jones Keller.
So we're here live. We're available and eager to answer your conscious parenting questions.
Right.
So reach out. We're actually streaming live on YouTube, sandrajoneskeller.com, or you can listen to us live on News for the Soul Radio.
Yep. So, Sandra, you were talking about your conscious parenting circles.
Mm-hmm.
What if someone has no experience with conscious parenting? Can they still participate?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to start where you are, whether you've been too authoritarian, too permissive, you don't even know. No judgment. We're really going to start where you are, teaching you a couple of tools that will make a really big difference in your life, tools that are going to help you reduce power struggles, stress, and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. It's not about having experience. It's about this moment choosing to parent differently.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
so let me ask a rhetorical question.
What's that?
What is conscious parenting? Conscious parenting.
What is conscious parenting?
Starts, in my mind, it starts with first, I think this infant is coming into this world. And I think I believe it to be a very conscious, sentient being with their own path downloaded in their DNA to be expressed. And as they grow older, and I won't know what that is until I just keep loving them and supporting them, and it starts to blossom out like a flower blossoms. And then they can choose paths, and we support them in that, and that's the beginning of conscious parenting. Okay. Second key to conscious parenting, be very mindful not to lay your path, the way you were raised, onto your kids as an act of Listen, if it's the way you were raised, you're going to go the full opposite side when you raise your own kid. You don't have to do that automatically. There's a better way, and that's called conscious parenting.
Okay, let's see. We have some questions. Let's see if I can read them from this chat.
I can. It's from Molly, UK.
Okay, go ahead.
How do you allow your children to self-regulate, taking advantage of the situation?
Ooh, that's
we need a little more text for that.
Well, we can start, though. And so you have to...
Oh, they got... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you've got to set a foundation. So self-regulating isn't, okay, like with our daughter, okay, Mecca, here, you go and stay up as late as you want.
Right.
Like, that didn't work for me. That didn't feel right for me. And so when I looked at her bedtime and I looked at her natural circadian rhythm, and I'm also a night owl, so I was up to 1 o'clock. And so I looked at all these factors, and I said, trying to get her to go to bed isn't making sense because she's not tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with the bedtime alarm, and I came up with the guidelines to support her. So I didn't just throw her out there and say, you can do whatever you want. You can, you know, stay up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, I think 1 o'clock is reasonable, and this is what needs to happen inside of that. So I created a partnership with her. We talked about it, and we made an agreement. And it was the cutest thing because at 1 a.m., you would hear her going to bed. So self-regulation, you work with them to create a foundation. So talk about when, I think she was 11, and we let Mecca self-regulate her sugar.
Yes.
So that was a mess at first for me, but go ahead.
Well, yes. At 11, she and I had a little headstrong battle about eating sugar, and I decided at that time, and she had shown enough responsibility, that it was time for her to start to self-regulate her own sugar and to feel the effects of the causes she put into action if she ate way too much sugar and how that felt. And the only way a person can experience it is by experiencing, and that means giving them the reins and letting them go and deal with it. And so what, she ate way too much sugar one time, way too much sugar.
No, okay, that was at 9, though, when she had the sugar coma.
Oh, that was
like,
9.
When she overate sugar at a New Year's Eve party and was in a sugar coma for the whole drive home, like a 12-hour drive. And then the next day had a fever. So that was at 9.
That was another story.
And,
but at 11.
And at 11, we let her self-regulate.
And she did actually really well after eating a lot of sugar. But then it balanced out.
Yeah.
And she lost her taste mm-hmm. for too much sugar for whatever reason. And she self-regulated it back. And now I've always noticed that she can eat just the amount of food that she wants to eat according to her stomach and her full feeling. She is not compulsed to clean her plate because we never said clean your plate. That doesn't make sense. Eat until you're full or near full, and that's the time to stop eating. And she's naturally been great at that because of self-regulating sugar and other things such as that.
And so when each year we would give her new responsibilities.
Right.
And so at 11, the new responsibility was self-regulating her sugar. And so we talked about it. But prior to that, so you talk about how not to take advantage of it, Molly. So prior to that, she'd been having one dessert a day pretty much her whole life, and except for special occasions. We've talked to her about the effects of sugar, about having a balanced diet. So she knew, how it felt when she would overdose on sugar from that one time. So when we let go of the reins, at first I was like, oh, my God, what have we done? Because I see her, like, eating cookies and eating this and eating this and eating this. And then I would say something. She's like, well, nope. You said it was, you said it was my responsibility. And so that maybe went on for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just went. And then, she would get one or two things here. So at 11, she was already self-regulating. And it was to the point where sometimes we would go out and it's like, oh, do you want this dessert, he'd look at it, no, I'm not interested. So she had the ability to discern if she wanted it or not, and it wasn't that she had to have it because she couldn't. It was like, I don't want it. And so Holly, I'm sorry, when you talk about not taking advantage.
Oh, it's Molly.
Is it Molly?
Yes.
Okay, I can't read. I can't see, sorry. So Molly, when you talk about not taking advantage, you work with them. And we have talked a lot on this show about mirroring.
Mm-hmm.
And mirroring is the magic tool. So mirroring is if I see it, I be it. And so you're the expert in mirroring. So just talk a little bit more about that and then how this works into not taking advantage.
Okay, I'm going to talk into mirroring after I briefly talk about cause and effect. Right?
Okay.
Because when you give your child a certain category to self-regulate, then they learn the law of cause and effect. What they put into action, they're going to receive the effects of. So if they eat too much sugar, they're going to feel lightheaded, sleepy, drowsy, or if they continue it for a long period of time, gain a lot of weight. And we have to let our children go that distance so that they can then rein it back in on their own and own the power of their choice. That's the law of cause and effect. We reap the effects of whatever we cause. Now, about mirroring is, everyone in our circle, our family, our children, our closest friends, are all reflections of our own consciousness. The way that they are with us is a reflection with our own consciousness. A lot of the way they look is going to be wonderful. A lot of what they do is neutral. And some things they do are going to really be just a pain in your butt and quite disturbing to you. But the key is the things that are disturbing are actually, we're disturbed because they're reflecting to us a part of our own consciousness that we have been unwilling to look. And so those are the things, the disturbing things. If we'll take those, own those, and do self-forgiveness for that, then that behavior will dissipate completely in both them and us. And that's where we evolve our consciousness. That's how we get more life energy is by dissolving those disturbances, such as lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, and the whole array of them.
Okay, so circle that into her fear about taking advantage of the situation.
Well, that's what I'm not clear of, because when she says that, she does not indicate if the child is taking advantage or it's a parent.
Well, I would say the child taking advantage.
Well,
so if you
then,
say,
okay, let's say if it is the child taking advantage, then you just have to own that as a reflection of your own consciousness and say, where do I take advantage? Where do I take advantage? Even if I'm not doing it in the physical world, where am I doing it mentally in my mind? Where am I taking advantage of people, places, things, my own child, or whatever? And you, if you stay with it, your intuition will bring it to you, and then you're going to go, oh, my God, I can't believe I did this before, and then you'll see it.
Yes.
And then you do your own system of self-forgiveness. Sandra uses a process called Ho'opono. You can tell them about that.
Well, Ho'oponopono is an ancient Hawaiian forgiveness technique that was brought into modern times by Dr. Hugh Lin, and you can look that up online. There's tons of videos about Ho'oponopono. And so what this process does is all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. So if I'm seeing something that I don't like, then once I see the mirror, I'm disturbed by it. One, I got to knock off the behavior. You know, you can't go around lying, stealing, and cheating and then not expect that to be a mirror of you.
Right.
And then, you know, you do your forgiveness work, and it consists of four simple phrases. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And you do this to start erasing the charge, erasing the energy, erasing the pain from the inner child that is experiencing all of this. And so, Mecca, I'd really like you to address this a little bit. So Molly says, how do you allow your children to self-regulate without them taking advantage of the situation? So I want you to think back. I know it's a few years ago. But think back to when you started self-regulating your sugar intake. So did you take advantage of the situation, or what was your experience with that?
I took advantage of it.
Because
I could. Because I wanted to. So, yeah, I would, you know, eat dessert. Sometimes, multiple times a day, really depends on what I had access to. But if we were at, like, a party where it was just the table, I would just take advantage of it because I could and because I didn't really care about the effect. Yeah.
So why did you change with time?
I guess I gained critical thinking a little more as I got older. You know, I'm 11, so I'm not going to have rational thought fully. You know, as I grew up, I was able to make better decisions so that I wouldn't, like, go into a sugar coma again or wouldn't have a stomach ache. So, yeah, like, growing up more.
Right. And so parents, yes, so sometimes it may not look the way we want it to look, like Mecca. It
looks like they're taking advantage.
Yeah, so it looks like they're taking advantage. As Mecca just said, she absolutely took advantage of the situation. And then, you know, she circled back around and found her balance point.
Right.
And that is far more powerful for your child to self-regulate than for you to go around following them, trying to change the behavior and get them to do all the things that you want them to do.
Yes, because they are going to self-regulate at some age, and you're only delaying mm-hmm. them getting that. They're going to do it as adults in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Some point, you know, they're going to have to learn self-regulation, or they'll get diabetes or all kinds of different health concerns from eating too much sugar, as an example.
Okay, and one thing I will say about that, though, so yes, we let her self-regulate her sugar, but we had already established healthy guidelines, and I didn't buy a lot of crap. You know, so I didn't have a lot of crap in the house. You know, I may have had one or two desserts, and then we always had lots of fruit, cheeses and crackers and other alternatives. So if you don't have it in your house, they have to be outside somewhere to get it. And, you know, so they're eating a lot of this stuff at home, but you just don't buy it. You know,
yeah.
you buy a few things. And so that's another way. So then it's like if they really want it, one, maybe have them use their own money.
Yeah.
And then two, if they're not having access to a lot of stuff at home, then they'll make at least healthier choices there and get to see the outcome.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that was a very long answer to your question, Molly, in the UK. Thank you very much.
How about Loma in
Lorna. Lorna.
Paloma, M-L-O-M-A.
L-O-R-N-A.
Lorna.
We can't read, sorry.
I decided to start homeschooling my 12-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son. I was looking into a more unstructured plan where they go through a period of unschooling until their true interests and creativity emerge. My challenge is that I've been observing my daughter go through the process for 8 months now. And nothing has happened. She seems content to do nothing. What should I do?
Want me to take this first?
Yep, you can start it.
Well, we have homeschooled Lorna from day one. And so we homeschooled versus unschooling. And unschooling, it's more of like find their. And so I say we homeschool because for me, it was very important that my daughter know how to read and write and speak.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been doing, like, presentations since she was probably in first grade of a little assignment and then getting up and talking. So we've homeschooled. So if you want to unschool, and they're 12 and 13, so it's when they get to high school that their grades really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're planning on going to college, then – certain courses that need to be taken in order to graduate, in order to get to college. So right now she's 12, so you have some time. But what I would do is I would, if you know, as a parent, I would make sure she's getting the basics, meaning I would still find some kind of language program, and I would find some kind of math program and maybe some science, so that as she's finding her interest, she's also not getting behind. Like I said, it all depends. College is not right for everyone, but if that's something that she has in mind, then you want to make sure that her skill level is where it needs to be in order for her to get into the kind of school that she wants. And, you know, there's a lot of deprogramming or unprogramming that happens when you're leaving public school, you're trying to homeschool. But what you could do is you can make up your own curriculum. So if she hasn't found anything, like my daughter loved Doctor Who. And so what I found was a going through history curriculum with Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was, I don't know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. I'm not even sure. So I found a going through history curriculum with Doctor Who. So we would sit down. We would watch an episode of Doctor Who, and there was literally Q&A, and then she had to write an essay. So we would watch the show together, and then we would talk about the questions, and then she'd have to go away and write an essay. And then she'd come back, and we would grade the essay. Not grade it, but I would work with her until her essay was cohesive, and it was good, and it was structured. So this was all around Doctor Who. So she was learning history, because even though Doctor Who is a fictional show, they deal with real-life characters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just an example. Your kid may not have any interest in Doctor Who. So this is just an example of how I found something that my daughter absolutely loved, and then there was already a curriculum. So there's a resource called Teachers Pay Teachers, and that's Teachers Pay Teachers. It's a website where there are teachers who have created different curriculums, and you can go and buy them. Sometimes they're maybe $1. Sometimes they're $5, $10. It all depends on what it is.
Okay.
So you can start finding things that match your daughter's interest.
Mm-hmm.
Say she's interested in anime or cosplay. Then I would find something to teach writing, because you can teach writing and English through absolutely anything. You just want to be creative. So if she likes to sew, then you can talk about the history of sewing. Have her do an essay on the history of sewing or something. So be creative in where you are now and find out how to do math. Okay, for example, my daughter likes to bake. And so at one point we were trying to learn fractions. I'm not good at fractions. But we were working with fractions and math in baking, because baking is precise. You know, you need to have a half a cup of this, a cup of this,
mm-hmm.
and it's fractions. So you can learn basic math inside of baking.
Mm-hmm.
So I find things that she is interested in, and just start where you are. Start trying to figure out, like, how can I create a curriculum around this for English, or find a curriculum? How can I create something about math? So that you are moving forward, because what you don't want to happen is for her to be 14 or 15 and not have any of her core courses done if she wants to go to college, if she wants to complete high school and graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you want to add to that?
I do.
Okay.
You wrote that she seems to be content to do nothing. What should I do? So it's clear you are disturbed by her being content to do nothing. I suspect that doing nothing actually is doing something. Maybe she's looking at a video screen of some sort. Really? I mean, to do nothing is, if you take that literally.
Then you're sitting what, on the couch?
By yourself doing nothing. So, you know, if it is a video screen, you may need to set limits on that. And what do they call that? Something babies? There's a name for it, Apple Babies or something. Anyhow, You may need to set a limit.
iPad babies.
You may need to set a limit on that, and just that's it. No more of the video per day, and then let her go about her way, as frustrating as it might be for her to discover things she actually likes and doesn't like. So she goes through that process. So that's all I can say about it. If you're disturbed by it, as a reflection of you, she's showing you that you are quite happy to do nothing. And you may be very busy in the world, but actually doing nothing meaningful in your life. So you may consider taking a deeper look at what doing nothing means to you and why you're disturbed by it.
And then just to add on to that, when you say content to do nothing, I would also look at, quote, unquote, what that nothing is, because it probably is, like Thomas is saying, it's probably something. So whatever that something is that she's interested in, create some kind of curriculum around it.
Okay, that's fair. That sounds great. I could be completely off the mark.
Because it could be, you know, maybe she's interested in rock. Maybe she's interested in photography. Maybe she's interested in video games, okay? So maybe she likes to watch video games. Then I would take that and say, okay, how about you build a video game?
Right, exactly.
How about you, you know, look at how you would market a video game?
Or you find an online group that is all about building video games.
Yeah.
And turn that into an educational tool.
Because through video games, you can learn how to write. You can learn how to speak and communicate your ideas. You can learn about math. Mm-hmm. So anything that you're doing can be used for expanding your education, your knowledge, and awareness.
Yes. Excellent.
So, yeah.
What's next?
Let's see if we have any other questions.
Okay.
So, Mecca, how do people reach us?
You can email your questions to ontheair@teleus.net or call in to 646-595-4274 or post your questions in the YouTube live stream chat at Sandra Jones Keller.
I have a question.
What's the question?
Sam, if someone has teenagers, is it too late to start conscious parenting?
It is never too late.
Those were teenagers, weren't they?
Those are tweens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is never too late to start conscious parenting.
Even if you're a grandparent.
Even if you're a grandparent.
Conscious parent, your children and your grandkids.
So it's sort of like it's never too late to go to the gym. It's never too late to eat better.
Mm-hmm.
It's never too late to conscious parent. You were doing the best that you could with the tools that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you learn new tools, then you can be more aligned with these wise old souls that are coming in. So it's absolutely never too late to conscious. And we just talked to Lorna.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very long answer that we had for Lorna. But you start where you are. And you look at, like, what's in front of you. Is it disturbing me? You know, Thomas gave a very long description about smearing.
That was actually brief and condensed.
Okay, so brief and condensed, but our answer was long. So you start where you are. You look to see, okay, my kid is doing X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So I have an example. I had a mom talk about how her five-year-old had started lying and hitting. And so we talked for a while and discovered that the mom had been lying about not having any more gum and kind of bopping her kid on the arm to control her. So her child was mirroring back to her the behavior. So the first thing is, you know, how to knock it off. Got to stop the lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't lie about, no, I don't have any more gum. It's like, no, you can't have gum.
Right.
And then you got to knock off the hitting, because our children are reflections of us. So even if you think that as the parent, I can do whatever I want, mm-hmm. and they're the kids,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to end up in a power struggle. You're going to end up with stress and anxiety, and you're going to end up with a kid having these behaviors
right.
that you don't like, not realizing that they are mirroring back your behavior.
Right.
So I'll give you an example of that. And this one, so this story is actually in my book, Tips and Trips of Parenting a New Age Kid, and it's called My Attempt at Corporal Punishment. And so my daughter was 2 years old at the time, and she's gotten into this bad habit of trying to climb out the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got frustrated, and a mom told me, oh, I would just pinch mine when they were young like that. So we're in the grocery store, and I pinch my daughter. And she looked at me like I've never seen, and I don't even know if she cried, but she was mad. So I'm like, okay, the behavior stopped. So next time we're in the store, and I think she set me up. She's two. So she's climbing and misbehaving, and I pinch her, and she looked at me, and she pinched me back so hard. And I really got it. It was like she was mirroring back my behavior. She was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm committed to conscious parenting, even though that wasn't a very conscious act on my part at the time,
yeah.
I really got that this was not going to work, and I apologized to her and said that I would never do that again. I never did, and had a conversation about, okay, look, how can we have more peace here in the grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
So at 2 years old, I pinched her, and she pinched me back because she was very clear she was not going to have that. Okay, we have another question. Amanda in New York. Go ahead.
I am brand new to the concept of homeschooling mm-hmm. conscious parenting.
Hey, hold on. I think it's
cut out. Conscious parenting, period. Would love to take the plunge, but I have no idea where to start. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Well, this is the place.
This is the place to start.
Yeah, you have books.
I have
books.
You have
Conscious Parenting Circle starting.
Yeah.
Online.
So this is the place to start, Amanda, in New York. This is our 25th episode. So you can go to the News for the Soul archives. You have 24 other episodes to listen to where we talk about conscious parenting concepts like mirroring, universal law. I've got books. Tips and Trips of Parenting a New Age Kid,
mm-hmm.
which is a series of essays of how we raised our daughter.
You can find that on Amazon. Just look up SandraJonesKeller.com.
And then I have a book, 21 Lessons to Empower the New Age Kid. And this book is great. It's 21 lessons. They're meant to be done as conversations where you can actually do it around the breakfast table or the dinner table,
mm-hmm.
where it introduces concepts like grounding, teaching them how to anchor themselves, mindfulness, personal blame versus responsibility, beliefs. And so they're conversations meant to give your kids agency over their lives so that they can begin to see that they are the creators of their lives. I have the Conscious Parenting Circle starting on June 12th. Online via Zoom, so it doesn't matter where you are. And that's going to be limited to 10 parents,
mm-hmm.
where it's going to be an intimate setting so that you can have like-minded parents who are committed to raising these amazing old souls in a mindful and empathetic way. I'll do grounding. I'll teach you how to ground yourself. We'll do some energy clearing. And it's really a place where you can bring your conscious parenting questions and have them answered by your peers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll facilitate it. But it's called a circle because we're all participating. We're all bringing something. So those are just a few places that you can start, Amanda, in New York. Thank you.
Gretchen in California. My challenge with my 13-year-old daughter is her lack of motivation to complete her assignment. She doesn't seem to take things as seriously as she would if a, quote-unquote, real teacher was holding her accountable. Her attitude appears to be, it's just mom.
Mm.
How can I overcome this? This is a homeschool teacher, educator.
So, Gretchen, so I've been homeschooling like we was homeschooled the whole time. And I remember, like, Mecca was always a very enthusiastic learner. And then I guess in middle school, she became very resistant, and it was like, oh, because we would go to the library and do her work. And she started like, you know, I don't want to go to the library. I don't feel like doing my homework now. And, you know, mm-hmm. So I was very frustrated because I'm mom, I'm teacher, I'm educator, you know, I'm everything. And so I got grounded. I, you know, tapped into my intuition to feel what was going on. And the problem was she didn't like how I had structured doing her schoolwork. We would go to the library together. We would sit there for a couple of hours, and we would do the assignment. And for her, what she finally said was, I don't always feel like doing the work when you want to do it. Like, that was not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, what would work? So remember, conscious parenting is about creating a partnership with your child.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what work? What would work? So what we did was we would go to the library on Monday. We would assign everything for the week. And then she did it whenever she felt like it. And then on Friday, we would review it.
And she would have deadlines.
Well, no, Friday was the deadline.
Okay.
So she had all of her assignments on Monday. By Friday, it was due. And if her homework was not complete, she didn't get Netflix. Because at the time, she was younger, so she was only getting, she would get like 2 hours of Netflix a day or something mm-hmm. like that. And so the consequence was, if her assignments were not complete by Friday, then she didn't get her 2 hours of Netflix time. And what I found was it wasn't that she didn't want to do her homework. She didn't want to do it in the way that I had organized it. So, Gretchen, where I would start is having a conversation of, like, what's missing for your daughter? Like, is it that she doesn't like the work? Are you trying to follow a school curriculum? Maybe she doesn't like, my daughter didn't like curriculum. My daughter liked workbooks. And so in homeschooling, it's about finding what works for your child. There's a lot of homeschoolers that maybe take their kids out of school, but then they get this curriculum mm-hmm. that's just like school,
mm-hmm.
and they structure their day that's just like school. And so with homeschooling, you have so much flexibility in how you teach your kids, what you're teaching your kids, and how they do their homework. So my daughter is a night owl. So I was trying to get her to go to the library at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and she was not interested in doing her homework at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. She wanted to do her homework at 10 and 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was I said, okay, that's fine. You can do that, but don't come to me at 10 o'clock at night if you need help.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want help with this assignment, then come to me during the day. So she learned how to work out her homework in a way that works for her, in a way that was in alignment with our agreement, and in a way that she was able to enjoy her Netflix time. So, Gretchen, I don't know the specifics of your circumstance, but I would say find something that your daughter does like. If she doesn't like complete curriculum, find workbooks. If she doesn't like workbooks, find other alternatives. As I mentioned before, we did a Going Through History with Doctor Who. We've done The Real Science Odyssey, which is an amazing program. So there's a lot of different...
Brick History,
mm-hmm. yes. Oh, my gosh, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different resources, most of them free, some of them you have to pay for, out there that may be more aligned with how your daughter learns and what she's interested in. So that's what
All
I was
right.
talking about.
Gretchen, don't walk away from this without doing your own mirroring work. You said it yourself. Your daughter is showing you where you do not believe that you are a real teacher and that you're just mom, as if there was something lacking in mom when there is not. So make sure you take those things in and see where you don't consider yourself a real teacher and where you just consider it's just mom as something less than. Because when you take that in, own it, and forgive it in yourself, you'll hold yourself to a higher standard, and then your daughter will react to that.
That's, yeah, that's a really good point, Thomas.
Well, that is a point of conscious parenting, is to do the mirroring work first.
That's an excellent
Otherwise, you're going to be run off chasing new curriculums the rest of your life. So do your own mirroring work first and foremost.
That's really good.
Thank you.
And some of the conversations that I had with my daughter also, you know, throughout the years was, you know, consequences. It's like, look, I already have my degree. So this is about your education. So what do you want to create for yourself? Because, you know, I've already been through it. I see what's important. So bringing it back to her, like, what do you want to create for yourself? And then have your daughter start looking at that, because you really ultimately cannot force her to do her work. It's got to be self-motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So
you want it to be.
And you want it to be self-motivated, because you don't want to sit there like, you know, banging the gavel, trying to force something.
That's what that was.
That was my gavel. Yeah. So you want it to be self-motivated. So between, you know, what Thomas said about looking to see where you don't consider yourself a real teacher, doing your own forgiveness work, and looking at maybe some of the resources that you're using in homeschool. I know, I see it. You know, you could definitely find a new, more peaceful path. So thank you, Gretchen. Let's see if we have any other questions.
Okay, very good.
Oh, one more.
One more. That is Kelly in Ontario. Is there a certain personality type that is right for being homeschooled? A certain personality type of child that should be homeschooled? I'm worried about the lack of structured environment and socialization with other kids.
Ooh. Type of personality.
With other kids.
Is there a certain personality type that is right for being homeschooled? A certain personality type. Well, I would say any child can be homeschooled. There are kids that are more social, though, that really enjoy school and thrive in that.
Mm-hmm.
There are kids who don't thrive in that. Throughout the years, even though we decided early on that we were going to homeschool, each year we would revisit it. I'd say, you know, Mecca, do you want to continue homeschooling? Yes. And even when she got to high school, it was like, you know, do you want to go to high school? Because there's a lot of fun things that happen. Or do you want to homeschool? And she always chose to continue with homeschooling. So the lack of structured environment, it goes back to, you know, what Thomas has been talking about, you know, mirroring. It's like some people could look at our environment and say it's very unstructured. But for us, I feel like it's very structured in the way that it needs to be structured. So.
And are thriving.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's a personality type. I'm a little bit concerned about why you're worried about the lack of structured environment and socialization for other kids.
With other kids. And so the social day, there are tons of homeschool groups.
I'm just saying,
what?
You probably would want to ascend your own consciousness, evolve your own consciousness, rather than be worried about other kids.
No.
Am I interpreting it
wrong? Yeah, you are.
Oh, okay.
So I'm worried about the lack of structured environment and socialization with other kids. So that's one of the main concerns about homeschool. That's one of the first questions that people ask. Oh, well,
okay.
How do you get your socialization? How do you meet other people? So that's what she's saying.
Okay, gotcha.
So you meet other people. There's tons of homeschool groups. There are tons of homeschool, and you're in Ontario, so there are tons of homeschool days at museums, at the zoo, at
everywhere.
So you can start participating in that. You can start your own homeschool co-op. We were very fortunate to have an amazing co-op for the last 10 years.
But that's because you created that.
Well, yeah, our friend Allison created it.
Yeah.
But so, you know, you can get a couple other families together that
mm-hmm.
are kind of like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have the curriculum. So we actually, like in the beginning, like each parent would take a week and we would teach something. I forgot. I think we were using a real science curriculum. And so we would all teach a week. And then, so it morphed and changed. And then we had like one main teacher, because one parent was actually a science teacher, so she was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she would teach and I would support. And then we were doing the big history curriculum, and one woman had her master's in English.
Yeah.
So she would, you know, proof the essays. So there's a number of ways that you can do it, but you've got socialization inside of homeschool groups,
right.
inside of activities and clubs and, you know, whatever else your kid is interested in. Our daughter is a figure skater. So she gets a lot of her outdoor or outside activity from figure skating. We used to go on a lot of field trips.
And there are so many mothers who are professional teachers who've retired from teaching because they don't like that environment and become homeschool educators. And they're all in these co-op groups. They have master's degrees. They're brilliant. And they're using this resource to homeschool their own children in groups and co-ops, and this is a tremendous resource.
Yeah. So we are out of time. Let me see if there's any other any quick questions.
How does someone register, Sandra?
Okay, register for the Conscious Parenting Circle by going to my website, sandrajoneskeller.com. It's right there on the front page. There's a link to register. It's going to be really awesome. And I've got resources to support you. I've got a couple of books, Tips and Trips of Parenting a New Age Kid,
mm-hmm.
21 Lessons to Empower the New Age Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Both can be found on Amazon. I have a DIY mindfulness for teens and tweens virtual class that you can do at your own pace. So I have resources to support you and your family on your conscious parenting journey, so you're not alone.
Website name?
My website is sandrajoneskeller.com. My books are available on Amazon. So thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you, Thomas. Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Becca, for participating.
Thank you for the questions.
Yes, and thank you for the awesome questions. We're usually here on the second Friday of each month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can find us on News for the Soul Radio.
But we also seem to do pop-up programs.
Hey, we need you. So until next time, happy parenting.
Happy parenting.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.